Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is that time of year, back to school. We've shared a few back to school topics with you over the last few weeks. Another one today. As you're thinking about sending your child back to school or already back into school for this semester, maybe you're sending your child to a Lutheran school, maybe homeschooling, or sending your child to a public school. What do you think about that when you're sending your child to a public school? Can your child be a witness in that setting? How do you equip them? How do you encourage them to be a faithful witness in that setting? We have some great folks lined up to help us think through that and talk about that today. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. In studio with me today, a familiar voice here at Worldwide KFUO, the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach and Revitalization in the LCMS Office of National Mission. And it is not Wednesday.
Yeah, today's not Wednesday. I'm not sure what I'm doing here. So,
I'm glad to have you in studio today. We figured talking about witness, you were the expert to help us talk about that today.
Always glad to talk about witnessing and sharing the good news of Jesus with people. So good to be here with you.
Well, thanks for joining us. Also, another expert to help us with the topic today, a mom and also a supervisor in human resources in a large district in Florida. She works with mentors who support new teachers, Amy Ballins. Welcome back to Faith and Family.
Hi, Andy. Thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you back and talking about kids in public schools and how we equip them to be faithful witnesses. Now, Amy, a proud mom of two kids, right?
Yes.
And raising them up, you and your husband raising them up in the true faith and equipping them to be faithful witnesses in this world. And also an educator. And so you see things from that perspective as well. And we've tapped into that for other topics here on Faith and Family. Tell me a little bit about your work as an educator and a professional in education.
Sure. Well, I have been in education for the last 14 years and lots of different roles. Starting my career as a high school social studies teacher and primarily working with 10th through 12th graders in the public school setting. And all my work as an educator has been in the public schools. And as a kid, I attended public schools. So I definitely grew up in them and then decided that I was going to dedicate my life to supporting those public schools. I was in the classroom for 8 years before taking an opportunity to go out and work with new teachers, helping to develop those new teachers to have an impact on all the kids that those new teachers are going to get to be in contact with over the course of their careers. And I did that as a mentor and got to be in classrooms every single day working with those new teachers for about 6 years before taking on this new position where now I help train the mentors who are out there working with our new teachers. So all throughout kind of the golden thread of my career has really been looking for those different ways to make sure that kids get the best quality education that they can get in our public school system.
Now, you mentioned earlier being a student in public schools as a child. Did you, as a Christian in public schools, did you ever find it challenging or difficult to speak about your faith in that setting?
You know, that's interesting because, and I see this in my own son. I currently have a fourth grader. He's 9 years old. You know, what I've seen in him and what I saw myself now looking back as a kid was truly, the Holy Spirit has such an incredible way of taking away the fear and the inhibitions with children. And I just always knew that God was with me when I was at school because God is with me everywhere I go. So I think that I never saw a separation between when I was with God at school or when I was with God at home or when I was with God at church. So always just a very natural part of just who I was as a person and how I lived my life. And it's amazing now to see my son being even recognized by his own teachers for that same thing when he's at school every single day.
Pastor Wood, looking at, you know, parents have a lot of options. Many of them have several options when it comes to choosing education for their kids or for their children. And public schools is quite often may be a simple choice for some because it's readily available. Lutheran school might be readily available for them as well. But when we think about the public school setting and sending children to a public school today, parents have lots of questions about what is my child going to learn, but perhaps don't think about or maybe miss out on the opportunities for their child to be a witness in that setting. Can the school, any school that a child attend, be an opportunity for them to be a faithful witness?
Well, certainly we're called to be witnesses in the context of our everyday lives. And for a child, that means being in school, mm-hmm. in a public setting often is the case. And certainly in those cases, we're witnesses. But we need to be a little bit careful about what our expectations of our children are in regards to actively witnessing in those environments. So sometimes I think we kind of look at our children as saying, well, they ought to be out there putting it on the line, you know, taking the blows from a hostile, you know, secular world, and they're the front lines of the church in the public school system. That's the perspective some people have. And it's like, well, wait a minute, we're talking about children here. They're not the ones who are supposed to be out on the front lines, and they're supposed to be growing mm-hmm. in wisdom and stature and the favor of God. You know, this is a time for us to nurture them. And I think when they're in the public school setting, it's an opportunity for parents to teach them about the role of a witness and what we're called to do when the scripture says in 1 Peter 3:15 to be ready to give a defense and a discussion, an apology is the technical term, of the hope that's within us, but to do it with gentleness and respect. And so they, as children are growing in the faith and as are growing in wisdom and stature, the public school provides a forum for them to understand how Christians are to engage the world around them, because most of our life is lived in a secular setting. Mm-hmm. And the public school is a secular setting. We have to recognize that going into it, not demonize it by painting it sort of this terrible, hostile environment towards Christians, because even though the setting is a secular setting, it's often filled with very faithful, devout Christians. So that's part of the equation that comes in there. Don't expect too much of our children. They're children. Mm-hmm. But use it as an opportunity to help shape them into lifelong witnessing.
Amy, you mentioned earlier having a 9-year-old in mm-hmm. and some of those questions that may come up, or what you're seeing in him now as he is a student. Do you see that? Do you see opportunities to talk with him about what he experiences? How do you go about talking about that? What he learns and what he experiences in the classroom, and then how to use that as a teachable moment mm-hmm. at home?
He's just starting to come into his awareness of the world around him, which is very age appropriate. You know, mm-hmm. that starts to happen at this age, because I also have a 7-year-old little girl. And for her, you know, she hasn't quite started having those kind of explicit conversations yet. So like Pastor's saying, there's a right age and there's a right time to start developmentally appropriately having these kind of talks with our kids. And I always kind of take the cues from him. And I think as a parent and as a teacher, that's a really good rule of thumb. You know, answer the questions you're asked and really let your kids kind of take the lead, because our instincts tend to be, you know, knowing that we send our kids out into this world that can sometimes be a little scary and a little bit hostile. We don't want to park our baggage on them and assume that something that could be very innocent and could be, in truth, a very teachable moment is a demon that's been lurking around the corner. So I think just keeping that open mind to, you know, my job as his parent is really and truly to nurture him, to help him grow, to answer his questions, and to give him a model for how we solve problems, how we think through situations, how we reconcile, you know, those struggles that he's just starting to become aware of, without taking them farther beyond what his 9-year-old brain can or should be processing right at that moment or right at that time. So again, my default is always answer the questions you're asked, listen, very carefully to what you're hearing and really utilize that as your starting point. Probably asking more questions than I even give answers for him right now, because he's got to learn how to process the world. And I'm going to help him learn how to do that.
So what I hear both of you saying is, if we place our baggage of hostility toward the secular society, the secular world, and just focus it all on public schools and demonize public schools or even their teachers inappropriately, then children, one, may not know how to process that because it's not necessarily appropriate for that age. And two, it creates in their minds this inappropriate image of the rest of the world and how to interact with the rest of the world.
Right. Pastor Wood. And so imagine now you've loaded all that on a child and say, okay, it's time for school. This terrible place that I'm sending you to because I don't really love you and don't want you to be safe. So, it's a really, really a bad message. And I think of course, in our society, everything is, you know, hyper. And we get these reports out of what's happening in this public school system in, you know, some county in Texas. And next thing you know, the whole public school system is corrupted. It's a tool of Satan, and they're trying to steal our children away from us. Most of the time, the public school is responding to changes in our culture and society, not initiating them. So take the bathroom issues that are going on. That didn't begin in the public schools. That began outside of the public schools and is now being forced into the schools. The schools are responding to them, and one can argue whether they're responding properly or improperly or whatever. But we need to keep a perspective on that we're not sending our children off into public schools that are intentionally trying to tear them away from us and the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if we start conveying that attitude or impression onto our children, that's going to cause a lot of anxiety for them. We need to couch it in the proper terms.
If we were just to pull every Christian child out of public schools, what would that leave the public schools with? if we were to encourage every Christian, whether a teacher or staff or student, to leave the public schools, where does that leave us? With no place for witness, then, no place to learn about the rest of the world.
Right, and Amy'd be out of a job,
which would be poor. I have such an interesting story that happened to Xander last year when he was in third grade that I think gives us a lot to think about with regard to this. So Xander's my son, and of his own initiative, he had these comic books that he was bringing to school, and they were the illustrated versions of the Bible. A lot of us have seen those. So, and one was about the Bible, one was about martyrs, and occasionally he brought his Bible to school. And when he had free reading time, that's what he chose to read. He would just take it out and he would start to read it. And I knew he was doing this. You know, we had lots and lots of conversations about what was happening in those books. That was kind of our bedtime conversation. So I knew he was super interested in this, and he reads all the time. So I can imagine that he was reading it quite often at school. But I'm not with him at school every day. So really, I was limited to what little bit of information he gave me when he would come home at night and just kind of tell me stories. And what he was telling me was, you know, it was interesting because the other little kids in his class started asking him what he was reading. And he was finding it really interesting, the kind of questions that they were asking him. Like, he was surprised by the things that he didn't know, just things he's taken for granted, because he was, you know, baptized as an infant and has been raised in the Lutheran church. And the kinds of things he was sharing with me were, Mommy, I can't believe that they didn't know who Jesus was, that they didn't know these stories. And that was really great conversation that he and I got to have as he tried to process all of that. And just affirming for him, you know, I'm glad you took time to answer their questions, and I'm glad that you got to have that great conversation with your friend. But the part that surprised me was I went to a parent conference a little bit later that year, and his teacher, and I could tell she was kind of feeling me out, she was a little nervous, because she said to me, I noticed what Xander was reading. And already, you know, I was like, okay, where's this conversation going? And she's like, I'm so proud of him, and I'm so proud of you, and so thankful for you as a parent that you would allow him to bring that to school. And she talked about how it it really fed her soul to be able to see kids kind of very organically sharing the word of God, because she herself was a Christian and could see her classroom environment being this very safe place for these kids to have this conversation. So it fed her too. He was witnessing to her too, not just the little kids that he was talking to. It was a very, very powerful experience for all of us.
That's for a minute there, I thought you were going to say that she was concerned that he was bringing those to school.
I know, because that's what we expect. Mm-hmm. And that was the part that was really so profound about this, was she felt safe being able to open up to me and kind of share her faith, too. So it just caught all of us off guard, I think. But there's God right there. That's when you know he is so very present everywhere we are. Public schools especially.
Sure. And that the fact that your son was bringing the word of God with him to school,
not just
as he's, you know, as he has it committed to memory and speaks it, or as he speaks of it, but actually had the word of God there reading it, and other students were asking questions about it.
It was really amazing.
That's certainly encouraging that you know, a child can bring the word of God with them, can speak about it openly in their school, hopefully in their school, as they're given opportunity, or that other students were intrigued by it.
Well, and to Pastor Wood's point, he didn't set out. He wasn't on a mission.
Mm-hmm.
He was for real just reading it, and it all just happened exactly the way it can and it should when you are just living your life at, you know, following your Christian faith. It wasn't something that was staged or something that I had to prep him for,
mm-hmm.
but just him being him and the Holy Spirit working through him.
It wasn't contrived.
No. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really the key to keep in mind, that, you know, that we talk about this on Witness Wednesday all the time, using the Lassie approach to mm-hmm. witnessing, where it is a natural way of being a witness. It's not contrived. It's not forced. It's in the context of your everyday life. And some people might say, well, you know, I can tell you public school stories where kids were told not to pray or not to talk about Jesus or not to have their Bible. And those are true. Those things do happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is not having a Bible or not praying, it can't stop us from being witnesses. And in the Lassie approach, for the listeners who haven't been so blessed by Witness Wednesday, don't forget to tune in tomorrow now. The letters stand for listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage. And notice the first two letters there, the listening and asking. Just listening and asking to people while you're engaging them in the context of the public schools as fellow students, with parents and teachers, that's already starting to be a witness. That's already mm-hmm. learning about people and seeking those, you know, points of connection that we might have with them. So don't think of witnessing as only opening up your Bible and sharing God's word with somebody. There's a process to it mm-hmm. that you can begin in any setting, even a setting where it's explicitly prohibited to share God's word. You can begin by listening and asking and seeking, and then, you know, trust the Holy Spirit to open up those opportunities for the sharing when it's possible to do so.
I think that brings us back to what Amy was sharing earlier about, you know, talking about what kinds of questions her son brings home about what's going on in the day. And then also then equipping him with what kinds of questions or what kinds of things to listen for in his next day at school or in the future at school as well. As we're really teaching kids how to listen when we demonstrate that, when we model that in our conversations with them in the evening about their day at school.
And so we are then doing what we ought to be doing as parents, and that's shaping our children to be lifelong witnesses of Jesus, not forcing them into a confrontation at a time where they're not prepared to deal with it in a setting that isn't going to be appropriate for them. Let's not have that unrealistic expectation
mm-hmm.
and put that burden on them, because we may be frustrated that the public schools are a certain way or the situation is a certain way. Remember what's appropriate for the role of a child and what's the appropriate role of a parent.
Let's talk about some of those things that where we might have a disagreement where it's likely that we'll have a disagreement with where we disagree with what's being taught in the curriculum when it comes to whether it be science or sex education or as you mentioned earlier, Pastor Wood, some of the policies that the school develops in reaction to what's being forced upon them from the culture in response to what's being forced upon them or other religions that are discussed or taught in school. Or even philosophy and what how we regard truth and what is objective and what is subjective, things like that. Well, let's use science class for an example. Let's talk about that. It probably happens more so in high school, but I would imagine in elementary school as well. Science and the topic of creation, the age of the earth, things like that. Have those come up as questions for your son so far in grade school, Amy?
You know, he's just going into fourth grade, and so far there's not been anything that would fall into that category presented in his curriculum. You know, and quite honestly, it's all pretty innocent at this age. A lot of, you know, the scientific process and that sort of thing. So we haven't had to cross that bridge yet, but as a high school teacher, I definitely know what's coming. You know, I know the foundation that's being laid, and I know the issues that are going to come next. And the biggest thing that I try to do from my point of view is making sure that I've established a really good open communication with him. So when he's having questions at school about anything that he ever hears that just doesn't fit, doesn't sound right, that he knows that I'm a trusted adult that he can talk to about those things. Because that's what I'm really trying to teach him at this age. If something doesn't sound right, then you've got to talk to me about it. We've got to have those conversations so that we can figure out what the appropriate response is and what the next best step is going to be. You know, how are we going to address it? What are the boundaries? What would be appropriate? What would be loving? And what would also be, you know, respectful at this moment to what's happening in that classroom? So that's where I think we are kind of with him right now, is just trying to really get him to understand, you know, what do we do anytime we're at school and something doesn't sound right or it's a conflict with anything that you've heard at home or heard from your church?
What about approaching this topic of science in the classroom, mm-hmm. Pastor Wood?
Well, as Amy pointed out, it's coming for Xander and Bella. And so she knows, because she's an educator, she knows. What concerns me is how many parents don't prepare their children
right.
for this.
Right.
And it is coming. It's there. I mean, and I think the sooner we introduce our children to the fact that there are people in the world who believe differently than we believe, mm-hmm. and they're not stupid people, they're not demonized people, they're intelligent, well-meaning, very sincere people, the better it's going to be for our children to deal with the realities of living in a pluralistic society. And so if we wait until, and this is really troubling because I hear this way too frequently, our students go off to college and they lose their faith because of evolution. It's like,
right.
Why haven't we addressed this?
Right.
Why haven't we laid the foundation of while they're receptive to hearing and listening to their parents, teaching them the truth of God's word, and then helping them process how that truth is being challenged by other belief systems, including scientism and Darwinism, and how to process that, even not necessarily defend the Christian faith against it, but just receiving it, understanding it, mm-hmm. and knowing how to process it for themselves. And that's an important step then to be able to answer it when they're fully equipped to do that and when it's age appropriate for them to do so.
If we wait until college to recognize that there's something different being taught and then only react to it at that mm-hmm. point, it's already lost. I mean, we've totally missed the boat on that if we wait until the college years, when we start with those early years and that foundation is being laid, as you pointed out, lay that foundation with the Word of God at home and open communication, as Amy pointed out, so that children know that they can ask and talk about these things at home with their parents and with their pastors and with other members in their congregation too, about, you know, who are trusted adults, mature Christians in their congregation that they can talk to and ask these questions about. You know, Mrs. Smith, we learned about, you know, the layers of the earth being millions and millions of years old in our science class. Now, I know you used to teach something about that in our Sunday school class. What do you think about that? Being able to have those open conversations with their parents, with their pastors and others in the congregation so that they can be equipped to respond. And we'll talk about how to respond to that in the classroom when it comes to science and other topics. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation on children, Christian kids in public schools. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
HBO produced a euthanasia propaganda piece. It's disguised as a documentary, but is almost completely one-sided. The host interviews various people suffering from debilitating illnesses who want to kill themselves, in most cases surrounded by people who support the idea. More than once, viewers hear the lament that only a few states in America have legal assisted suicide. The executive producer is extreme left Bill Maher, and Hollywood likes what it sees, giving the program multiple Emmy nominations. At the end, a Dutch woman was euthanized in front of the cameras. She had no terminal illness. She suffered from a personality disorder. I give the program credit for admitting euthanasia has proven to be a slippery slope. We didn't learn from history.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Join Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and thousands of congregations across the country as they observe Refugee Sunday, a time to celebrate the gifts migrants and refugees bring to the United States. Pick a Sunday that works best for your congregation to celebrate. New resource kits, including bulletin insert and poster, will be available soon. Sign up for our newsletter at lirs.org/rebuildinghope.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Erkinen inviting you and your golf buddies to participate in Christian Friends of New Americans Golf Tournament. It will be held Tuesday, October 11th at Norwood Hills Country Club. Funds raised help CFNA welcome refugees and new Americans in the name of Jesus Christ through Bible studies, tutoring, health screenings, ESL classes, and scholarships to LCMS schools. Please join us for some great golf while helping support this vital ministry. Information can be found at cfna-stl.org/golf or call 314-517-8513. I'll say again, cfna-stl.org/golf or call 314-517-8513.
Oh.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Eddie Bates. We're talking about Christian kids in public schools. We're talking with the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach and Revitalization, the LCMS Office of National Mission. Amy Ballins, Supervisor in Human Resources in a large district in Florida. She works with mentors who support new teachers there, and also a mom and wife, proud mom of two young ones, a fourth grader now, who's been the source of much of our conversation today, and his experience as a student. Before we went to break, we were talking about some of the subjects in school where there is certainly going to be disagreement, where we disagree. It's likely that we'll disagree with something that's being taught in that subject in school. And so how then do we respond? How do we equip our kids to respond, for example, in science class when they disagree with what's being taught? Amy, do you think Xander is ready for that when things come up in class that he knows are not what we believe and not true according to God's word when it comes to science class? Do you think he would say something in class? How do you think he might respond when he hears something that he knows is not true?
Wow. Well, knowing that he's my child, more than likely he is probably going to feel called to say something about it. And, you know, this is hard where I have to put on my teacher hat and I have to put on my mom hat and I have to put on all these different hats to think about this question because it is really complex. I mean, there's so many different ways you can approach it. But I know he's going to feel called to say something, kind of like I remember feeling when I would sit in public schools and I'd sit there and I feel this tension of, you know, am I letting God down if I don't say something? You know, that's, as much as we like to, you know that guilt is not necessary, I think it's just kind of part of the human condition. You know, God does so much for me. I don't want to disappoint him and not take this opportunity to witness to him and say something to him. You know, I know that that's what kids feel when they're sitting in those public schools because, like I said, I felt that way, and I'm pretty sure my son's going to feel that way. But I also know that sometimes there has to be the right time and the right place to do the witnessing. And I have to, as I've gotten older, I've learned to trust that the Holy Spirit opens those doors exactly when they need to be opened and in exactly the way they need to be opened. So I think it's his mom, that's going to be kind of the conversation I have with him is, you know, what do we do with those feelings of tension? What do we do with that guilt? What does God want us to do with that guilt? And what does he say about it so that he can start knowing how he wants to move forward with all of those decisions? And we'll probably have to call Pastor Wood and ask him for some coaching when that time comes, because it's going to be tough.
Pastor Wood, what about when your child hears something or is being taught something in science class, for example? He knows it's clearly not true. Can he disagree respectfully? Is that helpful in his witness?
One thing that is, I think, very helpful for both our children and for us as parents is to put this in the context of vocation. You know, and our vocations are what we're called to do and be. And to recognize that, you know, for a child, a Christian child in a public school, the role that child has in that vocation is as a student. Now, there are many things that are taught in school that we may not agree with, we may not buy, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be science and evolution. It could be, you know, the teacher's interpretation of Robert Frost poem, Stopping by the Woods on a Snowy Evening. I point that out because my daughter and I had a big discussion about this. And, you know, I said, the teacher, there's no way. That's not the proper interpretation. But as a my vocation as student, and this changes over the course of time, you know, what's appropriate. But, you know, in a grade school setting, it's more as the receiver of information. Later, you do process things and have opportunities to respond, and you're expected to respond. And it's always to keep in mind my role here in my vocation. And how we respond should always be done with that call from 1 Peter 3:15 with gentleness and respect. Keep in mind that, you know, our role as a student, the vocation of a student, is governed by the fourth commandment. And that teacher is a person who has authority and should be treated with respect. A teacher is a person who's been put into authority in our lives by the will of God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a gift from God. Of course, a person's a sinner and it's an imperfect situation, but we need to still be mindful of that. And if something comes up and if an opinion is asked or we're given a forum to voice an opinion, there's ways to do that respectfully and to say, well, I believe something differently. I know what you're teaching. I understand what you're teaching. I believe something differently. And, you know, there's where an opportunity may come up. You may be invited to speak what you believe differently, in which case you can give the defense of your faith, of the hope that's within you. Or it may be, no, okay, you're free to believe something differently, but you're not free to share it in the classroom. And you have to live with that because of your vocation and because of the authority you're under. But always seeking to do that, you know, show respect, honor authority, and do it with gentleness.
Amy, do you think your fourth grader is grasps that he has a vocation as a student and his interaction with his teachers, even when he disagrees with them, should show respect, and if he disagrees with them, to disagree and to speak with gentleness?
So I was really thinking about that as Pastor was talking, and I appreciate that he addressed our guilt because really recognizing it as the vocation does help you start to understand, you know, this is what you're called to be doing at this time. And so I appreciate that piece. To answer your question, Andy, what I hear in that is, as a parent, it is my responsibility to model that for him. You know, and I think about that as a teacher a lot of times. You know, we think of ourselves as teachers as always having to be very explicit and like, we're going to sit down now and I'm going to teach you what to do in these situations. And many times as a teacher, that's one of the least effective ways to truly get into a kid's head. Really, the way you get into a kid's head is you model. You are an example. You provide the example, and we call it the gradual release. So he's going to see me live my life that way when I am put in situations where I respectfully disagree with authority. He's going to see how I respond to it. Then there's going to come times where together we're going to be in scenarios where we're going to kind of together work our way through those situations where I'm going to start inviting him into my thought process and start asking him some guiding questions and letting him contribute to the solution so that ultimately we can get to the final part, which is he's going to be on his own in the world. But because he's had the modeling and because he's had that kind of that scaffolding, that bridge to understand how to go from the model to doing it on his own, I'm hoping he's going to be prepared with that, because I already know, I can think back, he has seen me be in situations where even we're listening to something on the radio that I don't agree with and hearing the conversation he, myself and his father have, learning how we process those things and how we think those things through and how we do try to always remember when those little ears are listening, you know, are we modeling respect and love and how to really handle ourselves well in the world in which we live and represent God in those things.
So when you hear something you disagree with on the radio and you yell malarkey or hogwash in the car, that's an example for him. Is that what you're saying?
Right. I listen, totally imperfect. So I'm going to say that you got to be gracious to yourself too, that you're not always going to get it right. But I try to be really cognizant of everything that I do when they're with me, I am modeling what I would want them to do when they're not with me. Mm-hmm. So I try to really think about that.
Anything else on the subjects that where we find disagreement, Pastor Wood?
I think it helps to help our children be compassionate towards people who are unbelievers. Too often we engage people who are not Christians and have a different worldview and believe things differently with some hostility. Maybe we feel threatened by them. Maybe we feel threatened by what they're teaching. But if we're well-versed in God's word, we don't have to feel threatened. And we should really have that compassion for them that Jesus had for them, because, you know, he came across people and he said, you know, the scripture tells us that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, they're living without hope. They're wandering aimlessly. The answers that the secular world gives are not satisfactory. They don't answer their fears. There's a lot of people who even question, if we get back into the public school setting, there are teachers who question what they're teaching, but it's what's to be taught. Mm-hmm. And so try to put yourself in the place of the other and have compassion for them. Now, obviously, you may encounter things where there's hostility towards the Christian faith. But even then, there's what's behind the hostility, you know, and can we have compassion on those who are hostile towards Christ? You know, this is, you know, the call we have to love our neighbors, to show that love and compassion to Jesus. And while it's not witnessing just to show love and compassion, it often opens the way for us to bear witness of Christ.
I just hear my son saying, "My dad says I should feel sorry for you because..." You know, we were talking about science and I was thinking of some other subjects where this might come up with, you know, when the topic of religion may come up in a classroom. Amy, you taught history, you taught social studies for several years. Was that something that you faced as a teacher that was challenging to teach? Were there things that were difficult when it comes to history, teaching world history?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have to teach about all the world religions. I have to teach about the rise and fall of Rome, which we know that's going to encompass the life of Jesus. It was all over our curriculum, you know, places where Christianity is, in the very least, a footnote, but has an opportunity to, you know, become a conversation in the classroom. And a golden thread that's woven through all of our conversation today is, for me, it's about, you got to really trust that, you know, don't make God so small that a conversation that maybe introduces another point of view, that he can't use that too. And I think always, even as an educator, and even in the way I chose to present different topics, you know, always framing it in the context of, learning about something does not challenge our beliefs. I don't take it as a threat to our beliefs whatsoever. And oftentimes in the classroom, I would try to front load that. When I knew it was going to be a topic that was going to be sensitive, I would say, so we're going to learn about this. And that's the role of education, is I want you to be informed and equipped so that when you do have to start making personal decisions, when you do have to decide on your own beliefs, you know, none of this comes as a surprise. And you know, here were all the possibilities. And if anything, it only affirms the thoughts that you hold on to. It only affirms your beliefs to be able to say, yeah, I know that could have been the possibility, but it wasn't the right possibility. It wasn't the correct possibility. So again, I'm not ever threatened by that. It's really defining what education is about.
Certainly, in the public setting, or even in a Christian school, learning what are other worldviews, ideologies that are taught in the rest of the world are certainly valuable to learn. I remember in one of my classes, you know, being taught an interpretation of scripture that I don't hold, but one of my professors reminded me that it was important to understand this so that you know what you're up against when you're defending, you know, when you're giving your apology, your defense of the faith, to know what you're up against. Pastor?
Well, and that's really a key point is... If we don't understand how other people are thinking, it's difficult to engage them in conversations about Jesus.
Right.
So if you're in a public school setting where you know what's being taught is not what the Christian faith confesses, use it as an opportunity to gain understanding, because there's a lot of people in our culture who believe what's being taught in the public schools. If that wasn't the case, it wouldn't be taught in the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we're the minority in our culture now. So... we need to understand where people are coming from. We need to understand their worldview. They're telling us what it is. They're informing us. Doesn't mean we have to believe it, of course, but it gives us the opportunity to really comprehend it in a way that then, again, goes back to the idea of helping shape our children to be lifelong witnesses of Christ. They're getting equipped to deal with that by the public schools if we use it properly.
What about those times when the Christian faith, when the Bible, the Word of God, or the Christian faith, the church, the history of the church is being misrepresented in the curriculum in a public school setting? Something about the Bible is being misrepresented, Pastor?
I would say in those cases that the parents should intervene, not put it on our children to become defenders of the faith. Maybe as they get a little bit older into high school, that may be a debate that can take place in the classroom if it's an environment that is suitable for that. But if the parents can intervene and voice their concerns, remember that parents have a voice in the public school system. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean we're excluded. Mm-hmm. In most public school systems, you have elected officials. And if there's a policy again, a lot of times the teacher doesn't have a choice. This is what we have to teach. So going to the teacher and getting into a big argument with the teacher isn't going to do any good. And in fact, it would probably do some harm with your relationship with that teacher. If it's coming from a school board policy or something, go to representative, voice your concerns, try to get change to the policy. There's always, in our culture right now, there's always a place for accommodation. Don't be afraid to ask for accommodation. Other groups have asked for accommodation and the system provides the accommodation. A lot of times as, Christians who are concerned about things, we don't get accommodated because we don't ask to be accommodated. But again, I think that's a role for the parent, not for the child. And it's really important that the parents understand what the child is experiencing and intervene when it's appropriate.
I often coach parents to recognize the power of their voice. And I sometimes am so confounded about why we doubt the power that we have. These are our public schools, and we should be using our voice to guide them in the direction that we think is most appropriate for our kids, for all kids. So what Pastor's saying is very true. Another perspective I just think is important to introduce is kind of going back to that story I started with about Xander, the impact Xander in his classroom was having on his teacher is, sometimes there's these opportunities. I was a Christian teacher teaching in a public school system, and I appreciated the support and the opportunities for witnessing, that came through parents oftentimes, or even through my students. So I always encourage everybody to take the opportunity. If there's something that doesn't sound right or doesn't feel right, go to the teacher and ask about it. And go with the spirit of seeking first to understand, because oftentimes it might be a teacher like me that's on the other side that is just as frustrated with the curriculum or just as frustrated with the situation, or can come up with alternatives once they're made aware of the situation that's present. We just don't know what's going on a lot of times in the lives of others. And opening the dialogue and having these conversations can be really, really powerful and often surprising.
You mentioned earlier, Pastor Wood, the school is quite often responding with policy, responding to the culture and the things that are being forced upon the school, the bathroom issue that we've been discussing for more than a year now in public schools. What about when things from the culture, from other worldviews that children bring into the classroom, to the playground, how do you equip your children to respond to that? For example, your son discovers, that one of his classmates has two dads. How do you equip your child to be a faithful witness in that setting, and how to respond to that without first injuring that relationship with that other child? Pastor, and then we'll come to Amy.
Well, let's start by what you don't do. Mm-hmm. Now, don't demonize the people. Don't judge and condemn. But instead take the approach I mentioned earlier that Jesus had with people who are caught up in their sin, and that is to have compassion in the first place. Recognize that they're lost. They don't know any better. Now, how do you express that to a child is going to vary, of course, depending on the age of the child and what they're ready to deal with. But in early childhood ministry, and we're talking about preschools, even child care, we had a situation where a child had two moms. So children are going to have to know how to deal with that, what that means, and at a very young age. So that's very, very complex to try to do that. I think you start by showing care, concern, and compassion for the people involved. And then you look for the teachable moments with your children to say, other people in the world believe things differently than we do. And that's a theme I think you've heard
sure.
in the last hour of using these as opportunities to say, this is what we believe, this is why we believe it, and this is, you know, other people don't believe this. And we need to be able to deal with that because we live in a world that's not a Christian world. And we're going to have many experiences in life where we're engaging people who believe differently than we do. So be firm in what you believe. I mean, the teaching of the faith to our children is so critically important, not just in Sunday school, but in the home, at the family altar, in those teachable moments, to reinforce over and over again what we believe, why we believe it, and fill our children with God's word so they can deal with the host of situations that are going to come up like this, even things we can't predict or comprehend.
We have just about 2 minutes left. Amy, your thoughts on that, equipping your kids to respond with compassion?
Oh, absolutely. And for me, it goes back to that modeling piece, you know, making sure that they know how, that they've seen me with the struggles that I have in the world and how I respond to those situations. You know, this is such a real situation. Bella was in the car the other day and we were talking about one of her little friends who happens to be a different denomination, and there were some things that were happening at her church that Bella didn't quite understand. And I'm going to go back to my rule of thumb as a teacher. At that moment, it was most important for me to listen. At that moment, I needed to ask Bella some questions. I needed to hear how she was processing the situation. I needed to hear what her questions and concerns were. And then in actuality, we spent more time talking just about what she believes and what our church teaches. And it was a really great moment to, you know, essentially, we were starting her confirmation program and she's 7 years old because it really opened a door for us to have a good conversation. And, you know, did we end up going back to talking about our little friend? Yeah, we did. But then it was in such a different context at that point where it was really about, wow, you know, here were the good things that are happening in her church, and here's how we can continue to support those good things that we see in each other. And that was kind of the approach we took at that moment.
Pastor, earlier you mentioned Lassie, a simple tool for helping us witness in context and relational setting. How can we find out more about Lassie and other resources for witness?
Well, of course, you want to listen to KFUO and Witness Wednesdays.
Absolutely.
Which happens to be on Wednesdays at 8:45 in the morning. If you go to the Synod website, lcms.org, and you look under the What We Do column, there's Witness and Outreach is one of our pages. And that has information about evangelism program. If you're a Facebook user, just look for LCMS Witness and Outreach and Revitalization. You get the LCMS Witness, you'll see in the search bar, it'll pop us up, like our Facebook page. And that way you can stay connected what we're doing.
Very good. The Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach and Revitalization, LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks for being our guest today.
It was great being here.
Amy Valens, Supervisor in Human Resources, a school district in Florida, working with mentors there and supporting teachers. Amy, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.